But first, it's the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock Nasser Vision and by Generator Supercenter.
Okay. What's the craziest thing you did when you were young? Did you ever steal a car?
Nope.
You ever do drugs?
No. Nope. We were both pretty...
straight-laced?
Straight and narrow kids.
Yep.
Craig stole bubble gum. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was your life as a thief. Lasted for one bubble gum thing.
One piece of bubble gum when I was about 5 from the grocery store. I hid behind the couch to chew it, which was very suspicious as my mom busted me, took me back to the store, made me give it back and apologize and pay for it. What a great lesson.
So you gave it back, the chewed bubble gum.
I'm not sure I had actually chewed it. Maybe I was unwrapping it when she busted me. I can't remember. It's a long time ago. I can barely remember yesterday.
So there was a story out of East Oakland, California. This surveillance footage showed a white Toyota Camry that was traveling along the road, and it sideswipes another vehicle and then veers towards a woman, 31-year-old Kiara Bowling, who was out walking her dog. So she's just a pedestrian. She's hit by this Toyota Camry. Driving the Camry was a 6-year-old.
Oh, my God.
And in the passenger seat was his 4-year-old brother.
Wow.
This Kiara was hit so hard that it knocked her out of her shoes. And then after it hit her, the car crashes into a retaining wall and the fence of a home's front yard. So both airbags were deployed in this Toyota. Wow, Kiara's dog was found unharmed later on, but the boys had to go into the hospital as well in stable condition. She's been in critical condition, the passenger. Wow. Her family says they don't really blame the kids because kids do stupid stuff like this. And the boys took their parents' Camry while their parents were sleeping. The 6-year-old took the keys from his dad's pocket, woke up his younger brother, and then used a kitchen chair to stand up tall enough to unlock a door before getting into the Camry and then driving it several blocks from their home before the crash.
Wow.
That's just wild that a 6-year-old would have that thought of, okay, let's wait till they're asleep, or let's wake up earlier, whatever it is, and do that, and then have the stones to go through it.
Yeah, at 6 years old, how did he figure out how to start the car? How did he put it in reverse to back out of the driveway? Maybe it was just out on the road. I don't know. It seems like there's a lot to knowing how to drive a car for a 6-year-old.
Maybe he's been watching his parents closely.
Yeah.
He's obsessed with it.
And I was obsessed with cars when I was a kid. I mean, there were cars for kids, as far as I was concerned.
Oh, boy.
But I don't know that I could have successfully driven. I certainly couldn't have successfully driven our cars in the late 70s. Those things were huge.
Right.
Yeah.
I took one out. I think I took my parents' car out maybe when I was, I can't remember, 12 or 13, somewhere in there. Backed it out of the driveway, drove it around the block once. Thrill of a lifetime.
So you stole a car, too. Bubble gum in a car. That's pretty good.
Well, I didn't steal it. I just borrowed it, took it around the block, and returned it. But I wasn't 6. I was double that age.
Uh-huh. My brother used to let me drive his car. He had a license. I was probably 14, I think, at the time. And he let me drive it. And about the third time that he let me drive it, I was driving around this neighborhood, and I decided to turn into this parking lot. It was a Camaro, too.
Wow.
And I turned into this parking lot a little bit fast, and there was water in the parking lot. I'm not sure if they had just opened a hydrant or something there recently or what happened, but I hit that water, and I did a 360 inside that parking lot. And there were no other cars around. It was like an empty parking lot. And it scared the dickens out of me. Oh, my goodness. I was so scared that this had happened in just the blink of an eye. So that was my brushback pitch, and thank goodness it was a relatively tame one.
6 years old, and you can reach the pedals and see over.
Yep.
And yeah, steer for a little bit anyway.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, how did he even make it a few blocks?
I don't know.
I mean, is he... earn the future Dale Earnhardt of America award for...
Maybe he just wants to race.
What was that line from?
Was it Ricky Bobby?
Was it from Talladega Nights?
Yeah.
Talladega Nights.
Hey, Rich.
It's a funny movie.
The Ballad of Ricky Bobby?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of funny lines from that movie.
I just don't know what to do with my hands.
You ain't first, you're last.
Dear... 8-pound tiny baby Jesus. That was the Jesus he preferred.
That scene is so much cussing in front of the kids.
He is a classless family. Always ragging on Chip. Don't you shut up, Chip. Was that his father-in-law? Was Chip?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And even the kids called him Chip, even though it was his their granddad. Granddad was just a sweet old man who just thought the kids should have some manners. Shut up, Chip! anyway, so that happened. And I'm a little bit worried about Brad Pitt.
Saw that.
Brad Pitt says that his 7-year run of sobriety is over with. He's closing that chapter in his life. Sobriety chapter.
This is usually not an announcement you hear.
He gave a wide-ranging interview to Esquire magazine, and he said that he was sober for 7 years, and then, quote, I got back off the wagon. I got back off the wagon. And then he says, but he's drinking in a more restrained manner.
Yeah, maybe now he can handle it.
He's doing the George Dunham thing of, we need to stop denying alcoholics alcohol.
My only thought was, if it's really difficult just to stop totally, maybe just have a drink or two a week, and that will get you through, and you won't go back into the horrible problem that you had.
Right.
Because all alcoholics can handle the occasional drink.
Right. Yeah.
Look at Brad Pitt. Sounds like he's doing great.
Alcoholics just... They never thought of moderation before. but routinely, they're masters of moderation once you introduce the concept to them.
Right.
They get it down pretty quickly.
I always put that theory under, I'm just saying, so you can't hit me on it.
Which is the safest...
Right. It's the fair
safest
catch
folder
fair
to put
catches.
Your ideas in. The I'm just saying folder. Yeah. Hey, I always recommend that when someone is concerned about their drinking or has, some questions about it. I always recommend, okay, well, try moderation. Try this plan, of you're only allowed 2 drinks, and they have to be real 2 drinks, not the Homer bucket of wine, and that's 1 drink, and then the next Homer bucket is the next
one. Aquarium of margaritas.
Yeah, you can't do that trick. But actual measured out drinks, and just see if you can do 2 drinks every other night. No, nobody who has questions about their own drinking, I shouldn't say nobody, very, very few can do that. And that will kind of be a litmus test to you. And that's good, right? That someone needs to... Because if they quit cold turkey, they'll always think, well, I think I should try that moderation thing. I probably could have done it and everything. And you will find, no, it won't be done. You'll do it for the first night. And then by about the end of that week, you'll be like, man, I ramp back up quickly here. The ramp up always happens.
In Brad Pitt's statement or interview, didn't he also say, now I can have a few and be okay? Like, not one here or there, but a few. He's back to a few.
He says that he got overconfident a couple times and quickly realized drinking in large quantities still isn't good for him. So he's had a few benders, too.
Jeez.
But he says he can have a few glasses of wine, but not too many. Explaining, I have to be professional about it.
Man, if that's what he's telling someone in the interview, I think in real life he's probably having quite a few glasses probably every night.
Or maybe he just wanted to brag on his success that, hey, you know what? I can do this. I've got control over this now.
When alcoholics and gamblers brag on their success, they're probably not really having success.
Yeah, it is a little suspicious. And if he's already said a couple times he got overconfident, that shows you that what is happening in there, that he's losing control and then drinking way too much. When his moderation is so finely tuned, it's such a well-running machine that he can easily cut himself off after two drinks.
Right.
We just stop on a dime. It's easy. Drinking never makes you want to have more drinks. Particularly not for alcoholics.
Right.
So just keep a prayer going for Brad Pitt. His life makes me nervous.
Yes.
I don't know what all was with the Angelina Jolie stuff, but there's a lot of stuff we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
she makes me nervous.
Yes, she does. Makes me nervous too.
Did you see that?
Seems like there's a lot of toxicity all around that.
I think four of his six kids have filed to remove Pitt as their last name.
Yeah.
So they're distancing from him.
Yeah.
Apparently, he had some anger issues around them.
And he filed to have his last name changed to Tequila. I don't know what that's about either. So, God bless Brad Pitt. And then this little sad note about the beloved California bald eagle Jackie, who lived near Cowboys training camp, lived at the Ojai Raptor Center. She has passed away. Just weeks after suffering a brutal attack, macabre attack, carried out by two other juvenile eagles. Insert Norm joke somewhere in here. Everyone was hoping that she would pull through, but she passed away after 3 weeks of intensive medical treatment. The facility shared remembrance photos of her on their Facebook, writing that our team is heartbroken, and Jackie had required oxygen therapy, supportive care, and constant monitoring in their intensive raptor unit. So how do you get an oxygen mask on a bald eagle?
Right.
Beak-shaped mask.
What?
A beak-shaped mask. That's not that hard to
understand.
They
wore during the plague in Venice, Italy? Those guys, the doctors that would have the beaks? It's always creepy. It seems like it's always used in horror movies. Somebody will be dressed up as the old Venetian plague doctor with the beak mask.
Yeah.
I think that's what did Jackie in. She had to wear that mask and fly around carrying an oxygen tank, and that was just too much for
so
her.
Heavy. So heavy. And just making conversation with everyone walking in, they're overcaring for her, and she's like, if I had a good life.
Well, stay hard, Jackie.
Well, I don't think there'll be any problem for her now, once rigor mortis sets in.
Yeah.
But why is it that the country will follow the story of a single bird who was attacked by a couple other jackass birds?
Hey, bird!
And pass away. Meanwhile, there's lots of humans whose misery and demise just go unremarked.
Yeah.
They don't grab our attention. But this was Jackie the bald eagle.
Our nation's symbol. Not her specifically, but the bald eagle.
Yeah.
She was a little wheels off to be our symbol.
I think we should change our national symbol.
Okay.
Why?
I don't know, like a...
Don't just change your symbol 250 years in.
What do you want to change it to?
No, you can't.
A dinosaur?
So wait, once something is there for a long time, you can't change it anymore.
Something that awesome, yeah.
Like you can't amend the Constitution, even though we've done it a whole bunch of times.
Can't change the nickname of the Washington football team.
Well, you can do that.
See, we did that too. So, wow, we're proving that we can experience change and survive.
We don't need to change the eagle. It's very majestic. Well, aren't it's there, served us well all
aren't
these
there
years.
More American-type animals than the bald eagle? Particularly when we change the way they even sound on screen because they sound so weak. So we play the red-tailed hawk sound every time we have an eagle on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Gordon.
So are you
against
that?
I'll tell you
what,
buddy. We'll be back tomorrow, and maybe you'll feel a little bit better.
Are you against that?
No. That sounds good.
Okay, so you support that. So if we can change the sound of it, can't we change the look of it?
Okay, that's a great plan, Gordo.
That way we can keep the bald eagle. It's just every time on screen, it's represented by a bear and the sound of a red-tailed hawk.
Okay.
Hey, you know what? We'll help you write that letter to the president tomorrow when we come back and visit.
We'll help you write it.
That would be great.
You can write it in crayon.
If you guys would.
Okay.
We can change it.
No, y'all don't have to write it in crayon. I would write it in crayon, but y'all could write it in pen.
We can change it to a fire-breathing dragon.
Yeah, how about that?
That's very intimidating.
Yeah, but that's a mythical creature. We got to go by an actual land animal here on Earth in America, which I say would be the grizzly bear.
Okay, buddy. That's a good one.
Isn't that a much more powerful creature? Would you rather be attacked by an eagle or a grizzly bear?
Eagle.
Okay. See? So the grizzly bear is tougher, but we'll have the red-tailed hawk sound every time a grizzly bear comes on screen.
He got what he deserved.
All right, Gordo. Thank you.